the transaxle, one piece of that car sold for $382,000. And it was purchased by somebody very near and dear to the Spooky Science Sisters' hearts. So
that sentence makes me question what I said.
But I want you to answer your first answer. And then if you have another one, you can give it to me.
Okay. So I was wrong saying that I thought it was Nick Cage.
So I'm really glad you said it was Nick Cage because that when I asked Elliot this question, he said the exact same thing.
He did.
He did. Unfortunately, it was not Nick Cage.
Well, yeah, your sentence, had there been near and dear to the spook, because like, I mean, I'm fond of Nick Cage, but I wouldn't say near and dear to our hearts. Who is it? No, it's not. Yes. No, it's fucking not.
I'm Paige.
And I'm Megan.
And this is Spooky Science Sisters.
Hello and Happy New Year. You're listening to Spooky Science Sisters, a podcast where we present to you a science-based and probably very giggly discussion on all things strange and unusual.
We hope you all enjoyed celebrating the holidays and had a good start to the new year. For our first episode of 2023, we are going to cover several very different topics in our fourth Short and Spooky episode, which will be called Short and Spooky in the Fast and Furious franchise tradition.
It's very serious. Before we do something spooky, we have officially acquired enough gumption to ask for your help supporting the show in the form of our newly launched Patreon. Yay! It's very scary. You can find it by going to patreon.com/spookyscipod. That's patreon.com/spooky, SCIPOD. And there are three tiers. The spooky tier, which costs $3 a month, gets you a shout out on the show and social media, ad-free episodes, and access to any bonus episodes we might record in the future. The spookier $5 tier gets you all of that. Plus, we're going to send you a handwritten thank you note and little spooky goodies like 3D printed figurines and stickers or, I don't know, things like that sent to you at least 4 times per year. And then the spookiest tier, which is $7 a month, has the same benefits as the spookier tier, but it's for if you're feeling fancy and you want to throw us a couple extra dollars a month. You don't get anything. You're just feeling fancy.
Really, you're just making us feel fancier.
Yes, you're making us feel fancier.
So today we want to say hello to our first batch of patrons, Alex, Tanner, Tibby.
I think so.
I like rocks, like a lot. Chuck, Cassandra, and Chris.
Yay! Yay! Yeah, you can just put like a username, not necessarily your real name in there. So some will be usernames, some will be names. But mostly I just cannot believe that there are 7 people in there already. That is shocking to me.
And it happened so fast. Like, wasn't it just 2 weeks ago that you set it up?
Like, maybe not even 2 weeks ago. I was just like, all right, fuck it. I'm making a Patreon.
We're doing it.
We're just doing it.
So hi to you guys, and thank you so much.
Yeah.
We're very excited.
We're very appreciative, and it does help a lot. I also want to note that we've been having a lot of fun talking to people in the Discord server? No, the Discord server. And even a wild page appears from time to time. So everyone should join that as well. And for both the Patreon and the Discord server and like literally everything else that you can possibly follow or connect with us on, as always, there will be links in the show notes. So now we get to do something spooky. Our first something spooky of 2023. Paige, you're going to go first and give everybody the bad news.
So before we get, it's not bad
it's
news.
It's not bad news. I'm just being a dick.
It's news. But before I do this, I didn't have a something spooky initially, but then last night at like four, it wasn't, I mean, it's not actually that spooky. It was really this morning. It was at 4 o'clock in the morning. I hear a fucking chair sliding down my hallway and scared the shit out of me and like look up and Elliot's just moving, 4 o'clock in the morning, just moving a kitchen chair through our hallway.
Oh my God.
Because, and like, I don't know how it didn't wake me up, but our smoke detector batteries had started dying and so it was chirping and it woke him, but he said like, I just didn't give a shit. Like I was just out. Yeah, so that scared the shit out of me. And now I'm like pretty certain that almost 24 hours later, our dog is still like traumatized from this happening because she's like shaking and hiding in corners. And like Elliot said, we're like kind of wondering if maybe she heard it earlier in the night because like apparently she had been hiding under my desk all night last night and like wasn't coming out to like hang out with him or go to the couch to sleep or anything. So she, like, this may have ruined her life.
Yeah. Well, like I texted you earlier, it also ruins my dog's life when the smoke alarm chirps. He's like literally pissed himself because he was so afraid of it. It's like, oh my gosh, you got to chill a little bit.
Meanwhile, I just sleep through it apparently. So it's like if the house is ever on fire and I'm not home, like you're just going to burn up inside of the house.
Same. We're the same person in that respect. I will just go down in flames for sure.
So that's my something spooky. And then I guess life update, good news / sad news / just news.
It's not sad news. It's good news.
It's good news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just being a dick about it.
But in a couple weeks, I will be starting graduate school, which is exciting and a little bit terrifying because I'll also be working full time. So not totally clear that I'm going to survive the next couple of years. So yeah, I'm excited. But with that means that I'm going to take a little bit of a step back from recording at least as frequently with the podcast. But Megan will still be recording plenty for you guys. She has an awesome lineup of guests already for this year and topics planned for everybody. So you guys like won't even know I'm gone.
Basically, do not panic. We will still be releasing episodes every 2 weeks like we have been, although frequently because one or the other of us is very busy. Sometimes that schedule is loose, but hopefully we will stick to it better this year. But the format will change a bit. So it'll be me and Paige every other week, like normal. And then the rest of the episodes will be me and a guest, or you could think of them as a guest host. And like Paige said, we've got some super awesome people lined up, and I'm really excited about it. And you'll hear some repeat people and some new people, and I have to decide whether or not I want to call them honorary sisters or should they be substitute sisters.
I like substitute sisters.
I know. I think we have to stick with the alliteration.
Yeah. Agreed.
And some of the people are going to be like, okay, great. It's fine. I'm actually recording with Rebecca Gibson tomorrow. So yeah, she'll be our first substitute sister. And yeah, importantly, this will just be for a little while. And yeah, then Paige will hopefully be back full time, or I'll have to track her down.
It won't be hard. You know where I live.
I will find you. Okay, now I get to do my something spooky, which I'm pretty sure is just like that my brain is a little bit broken right now, but it's fine. We're going to talk about it. So I was driving to work, I don't know, last week. I can't remember when we started these notes. Here's some background on this. We'll have a little bit of a vulnerable moment because you know what? We're not going to be ashamed in 2023 that like sometimes we have to take a little bit of medicine to make our brains happy. Anyway, been tapering off of taking Zoloft when I've been taking it for the past couple of years, and it like sort of makes your brain a little bit weird while that is happening. And I don't know, I keep like having these moments recently where I feel like something is like moving or happening like on the corner of my eye. And one of those was when I was driving recently last week, I don't know, sometime in the last few days. And I like, there's a car pulled off to the side of the road. And I like swear that when I first looked over, there was someone like standing by the fence and by the car with it. Like they had gotten out of the car to like look over this fence or look for something. And then I like looked back and nobody was there. So that was my something spooky.
Oh, that is spooky.
Yeah. But I'm also pretty sure it was just like my own brain being like, what the fuck have you done to me? So there's an explanation. It was a really weird feeling. I was like, I swear that there was someone standing there, and then there was not. So yeah. All right. Short and spooky. There's not a theme here.
Not even close.
Like, not even a little. Sometimes we sort of accidentally end up on a theme and it fits together. This time, 0%. Not at all.
We both went a little rogue on this one.
We did. Yeah, Paige did. And then I cycled through like 5 different topics, I think, before I finally landed on the final 2. So here we are. This is going to shock you guys, but my first one is people saying stupid shit about Yellowstone.
Shocked.
Shocked. So apparently the news cycle has come around again to this whole like Yellowstone is about to erupt and an eruption is imminent. And I've come across multiple instances of people posting videos or other content online suggesting that Yellowstone is on the verge of some big eruption. And there's like always sort of this undercurrent of like, they're not telling us what's really going on.
Right.
Like, whatever. It's so stupid. So first, there was a guy on TikTok posting these videos of his yard with steam rising out of it. And he also lived near this reservoir. And he was posting these pictures of like weird bubbling happening in the reservoir and was getting like millions of views. Like these were for sure going viral. He claimed that he lived in Wyoming, not far outside of the park, and was observing this like weird bubbling in the Alcova Reservoir. And then all of a sudden, a couple videos later, he was being forced out of his house by some mysterious government agency. And he was like asking for money to help with the associated costs, like because his family now had to stay in a hotel, which was like red flag.
Right.
All around. So luckily, I guess to sort of jump to the conclusion of this whole thing, but the TikTok sleuths and volcanology people did their job and they were like, this guy's a scam artist and this is total bullshit.
Yeah.
So the giveaways for these videos that he was showing, and I suppose, well, no, I can't link the videos to show you guys what I'm talking about because, like I said, the sort of TikTok debunking and volcanology crew did their job. He has since like removed all the videos and I'm not even clear that his account is there anymore because people figured out his bullshit.
Sure.
But the dead giveaways were, A, he was just like sort of showing the same video of the ground steaming repeatedly. Like it didn't really seem like there was ever new footage of what was happening. The fact that he claimed that this was going on for weeks, but somehow the grass in his yard was still green, which would be weird if you had like volcanic gases coming up through your yard, but like also would just be weird for late December in Wyoming.
Right.
So that was weird. And then of course, just like in general, there's no secret government agency coming to collect you and your family for making videos about this online. And if there was some sort of evacuation happening, everybody would know about it. Furthermore, the Alcova Reservoir is near Casper, Wyoming, which is over 250 miles from Yellowstone as the crow flies. So, like, not even in the neighborhood. I mean, in the grand scheme of things in the neighborhood,
sure. But,
like, not to be seen, like, hydrothermal activity associated with Yellowstone. So that was just dumb. It did go viral enough, though, that the local news in Casper ran stories about it. The Natrona County Sheriff's Office, say that 5 times fast, posted on social media addressing the rumors and like steps they had taken to check in on stuff. Even on their post, the Yellowstone Volcano Observatory, which is associated with the USGS, commented on it. The sheriff's office shared a current picture of the reservoir, which was like iced over and totally quiet. So it's like, this guy is totally full of shit. anyway, yeah. So this guy's just totally full of shit. That was the first thing that I saw was the videos on TikTok. And like, maybe he saw this other video that I'm going to talk about, and this like prompted this whole little scheme for him to come up with, because that is not all. There was also a different viral video that was circulating on Facebook with claims that rapid volcanic uplift is happening at Yellowstone and signaling an impending eruption, and that the park is being closed down and evacuated, which is absolutely not accurate.
How do people think they're going to get away with that?
What?
That, like, nobody would know that this is false.
I don't know. Like, I can't tell you why nobody uses common sense, or, like, why nobody is, like, let me just, like, there are webcams in the park,
right?
Why does nobody look into this? Or, like, the USGS Yellowstone Volcano Observatory has social media and, like, just look at what they're posting.
Get on Reddit and look at the like back or like the hiking or camping subreddits. You'll see 55 posts from Yellowstone today.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like people just see this and they're like, yeah, that sounds right. And then like literally do zero looking into it at all. So the video in question was originally posted to YouTube back in October by the account Future Unity, which has over 570,000 subscribers. So, like, great. Glad they're using that power for good. And they posted a 22-minute video, which has racked up over 350,000 views. And that's just on YouTube. I think it was also posted to Facebook and, like, got shared around a bunch there. Which, like, who has time for a 22-minute video of bullshit? Like, I was not watching all 22 minutes of this. I, like, skimmed through it because I was like, I'm not doing this. I know that this is all bullshit. This is not worth it. Yes. So I suppose just to, like, address the uplift thing. So in a geologic setting, uplift just means that the ground is expanding or moving upwards. Not the most creative name, but there you go. A lot of geology terms are just sort of like, yeah, that's what it is. Sometimes in a volcanic setting, it can mean that magma is collecting beneath the surface. And because you have that extra volume in the magma chamber and there's more heat, it's causing the ground above it to expand or move upwards, or again, we call it uplift. And if you get rapid or very large amounts of uplift, that is concerning in a volcanic setting. That said, Yellowstone has been, on average, subsiding, so deflating, since 2015. And like any volcanic system, there's always going to be some sort of dynamic movement at play as magma moves beneath the surface. And you either get hydrothermal fluids or gases collecting or dispersing in, you know, various parts of sort of that plumbing that's beneath the surface. And you could just think of it as like the magma system breathing over time. It doesn't mean there's any immediate danger. In like overall, you sort of want to see this regular motion. You want to see things sort of get released over time because like it means that things are not plugged up down there. The long story short of it is, this is your annual reminder that you should get your official Yellowstone volcano news from the Yellowstone Volcano Observatory, which is run by the USGS. There is no secret government conspiracy to hide a pending eruption from you, and anyone who is telling you that is trying to exploit you for their own gain. And that is it.
I like it. I know it feels, you have talked before about how there's like this news cycle, and it feels like it's like every three to four years that I start seeing it.
Yeah. I felt like for a little while I was seeing it like at least once or twice a year. And then I don't know if it just got like swamped out with pandemic stuff. And now everybody has decided, well, that's over. So like it's time to,
to freak out about something new
with everything else. Which, by the way, the pandemic is not over. We're just pretending that it is. But anyway, that's a whole other episode. One of these days, we're going to have the scary epidemiologist episode.
Yeah. It'll just be an hour and a half of us raging at each other.
Yeah, it'll just be me like screaming into a pillow for 90 minutes. Okay, well, that's my first short and spooky for this episode. Now for something totally different.
So I like definitely, like I said earlier, went rogue on this episode. Uh-huh. But like it's a cursed object. So it sort of fits.
It's the theme, yeah. Like it's sort of too short for a full episode, but it's
Yeah.
But yeah. Honestly, it fits better than mine because, like, it's car themed and we do these Fast and Furious franchise title-wise. Right. So yours makes more sense than any of mine ever do. Yeah. How'd you come up with this, though? Or, like, where did this come from?
I don't remember, honestly. So I had, like, been thinking about some ideas for this episode and, like, I don't remember if I was just, like, bopping around on the internet or like if I don't even know. I like couldn't even tell you. And it was only like a week ago, but I don't know. I don't know where it came from. Long story short, I don't know how I got here, but I did. And now that our husbands have pulled us into the world of F1 racing and we've got this Fast and the Furious theme thing going on with these episodes, I thought there was no better time for me to do a cursed car story.
Yay!
So here we are. I'm going to tell the story of James Dean's cursed Porsche.
Great.
So James Dean, was actor in the early 50s and was most famous for playing Jim Stark in the movie Rebel Without a Cause. Something I didn't realize about James Dean is that like he was in far less stuff than I thought he was. Like he was only in like a handful of movies before he passed away.
Yeah, he died super young and like super early in his career. That's about the only thing I know about James Dean.
Yeah, I didn't know that. But now I do. So in 1955.
1995.
James had quite a bit of success in his acting career. And according to Lee Raskin, who is a biographer and expert on James Dean's life, James was a bit of a daredevil, so he celebrated his success the same way our husbands would by purchasing himself his first Porsche.
Oh, Lord.
A 356 Speedster. And he entered himself into some road races with it and actually did pretty well. He took first in a novice race and then took a second place finish in the main race at Palm Springs in 1955. And he wanted to continue. His future in racing was looking pretty promising. So he decides to continue this success. He needs a faster car.
Obviously.
Obviously. So he goes and purchases a brand spanking new Porsche 550 Spyder, which he nicknames Little Bastard. It's just like my favorite. So James, with this brand new car, decides to go to another road race in Salinas, California. And on his way, he is in a head-on collision with another vehicle. Now, to spare you the gory details of the accident, we'll just say that the car was like completely mangled. James did not survive the accident, and his passenger, a Porsche mechanic, Rolf, which I believe is Vuterich?
That sounds right. Vuterich or Vuterich?
Yeah.
I believe you.
Yeah. Something close to that.
Yeah.
Was severely injured.
Yikes.
Yeah. Not good. Like you mentioned, he was very young. He was only 24 and was like pretty, really early in what was looking to be a really promising acting career. And I mean, looking like he was going to be pretty successful when it came to racing too. So the The area where he crashed is an intersection called the Sholam Y, which is in Sholam, California, where Interstate 41 and 46 meet. And there's actually a James Dean Memorial. It's considered like the James Dean Memorial Junction now. Gotcha. And it's a popular tourist spot. But that particular stretch of road has more recently been nicknamed Blood Alley because of the number of traffic fatalities that occur there.
Great.
It's like apparently like significantly higher than anywhere else in California.
Okay.
So I sort of expected to find a bunch of ghost sightings or just like something kind of spooky going on in that area, or like reports of people seeing things, but there really wasn't much there. The only thing I could find were people reporting that they would see the 550 spider behind them while on the highway by his crash site. And apparently, apparently if you see the car in your rearview mirror while you're driving that stretch of highway, you're supposed to let him pass. So,
which is like definitely just, if those stories are real, it's just people seeing other people in a Porsche.
Well, here's my thing. Like, yes, that, but also like, I don't know. I wouldn't know what that particular car looked like.
Sure. I mean, I guess like Porsches have like pretty distinctive headlights. So
sure. But like,
you might know. So that was my point, is like, you might know it's a Porsche and then people are like, oh my gosh, it's James Dean's
Porsche.
Oh
yeah. Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah.
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 I'm positive that Steven would recognize a Porsche like in his rearview mirror.
Yeah, sure. Like you said, I mean, maybe recognize that it's a Porsche, but like not necessarily recognize what model it is. Like, I don't fucking know. It just looks like a cool car to me. that's like, you know, there might be more out there, but like a quick search, that's pretty much all I could find about that area in terms of like any sort of like paranormal reports or whatever. So
that's
it really for that area, but that's not the end of Little Bastard's story.
A little bastard.
So at this point in this story, things do get a little fuzzy. It's one of those where you, like, depending on where you look, you'll get a slightly different event occurring at a slightly different time. But this is basically my attempt to like piece together everything that I read.
Mm-hmm.
So after James Dean's death, a man by the name of George Barris buys the remnants of the car. And George Barris is a custom car designer who is well known as the designer of the Batmobile for the 1960s Batman TV series.
Mm-hmm.
After he purchases it, things just get a little weird. First, he claims that right after buying it, it is unloaded in his shop and the car falls on a mechanic and breaks the mechanic's legs.
Yikes.
Not good. Barris then states that he starts selling off all the parts from the car. So the engine goes to a doctor who is apparently later killed in a racing accident in the car that engine was put in. Another doctor is reportedly paralyzed in a racing accident in a car that used the transaxle from Dean's car. And like, here's the thing about that. Like, if these, I didn't look into whether or not these doctors were injured or killed in a racing accident, but like, even if they mm-hmm. were, they're racing their cars.
Right. They're participating in an inherently dangerous sport. Yeah,
and especially at that time.
Right. They're going to have a higher. Yeah. Yeah. Like being F1 fans now, the F1 cars were basically like death traps. So I doubt that like this situation was much better at the time. And like it's just an inherently dangerous sport. There's no, there's no curse here. And like, so did Barris intend to just sell off the parts, or did it like fall on his mechanic's legs and he was like, no, fuck this shit, I'm selling it?
It seems to me like, based off of the stories that are told from Barris, he intended to sell the parts, but we will get there.
Okay.
So at some point, Barris lends the car out to the Greater Los Angeles Safety Council. which I was excited about, to use for a safe driving display, except it's like a little weird okay. because the display is named James Dean's last sports car, which like I get the point, but it just feels kind of icky to me. And at this show, the car, according to Barris, falls off of a stand and breaks a teenager's hip.
Oh, man.
Now, prior to Dean's accident, he was involved in a National Safety Council PSA on safe driving. So like this, you know, maybe in Barris's mind could have been a good way to honor him. Though it is worth mentioning that I've seen photos of this display, and I've also seen the photos of the accident scene, and the car at the display is most definitely not the same car from the accident. You know, it's possible that like maybe they could have used some of the parts and just like kind of rebuilt the body, but like the body from the car in the accident was definitely not salvageable.
Yeah. Gotcha.
So just keep that in your mind.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there are several other stories Barris tells that would make anybody believe that the car was cursed, including it falling off of a trailer during transport, a thief apparently breaking their leg while trying to steal the car.
Everybody's legs are getting broken.
I know. There's a lot of breaking legs. But this, you know, the stories go on and on. So, you know, that's just a couple of them. So, like, the car must be cursed, right? Like, what else could be going on here? Must be cursed. Of course, it's not actually cursed. spoiler alert. So Discovery UK has a very dramatic Strange World episode with Lee Raskin. In that video, it seems to me that Raskin is like all in on this cursed car narrative. And maybe at that time he was, though it could have also just been that that's the direction the show took. But it seems either way that as of 2021, he has come around to believing that Barris fabricated most, if not all of it.
Which I like, you might be about to get to this, but yeah, like why wouldn't, like if he had acquired some parts of this car that was like, I mean, it can't have been much, like you said, because it was just like completely trashed, but like what better way to like drive up the price to imply that there's some sort of like spooky curse or whatever, or like spooky afterlife connection to James Dean that's like more than just it having been his car.
Right. Yeah. So like you said, if his intention was to sell them, then like,
yeah,
that's a great way to make money off of it.
Yeah. Because people are weird.
Right.
Okay. Anyway, keep going.
So I agree with you, but this is where things get crazy. So there's a 2021 Motorsport magazine article.
Okay.
And in that, they talk to Raskin. And according to Raskin, now he says that the wrecked car was not actually purchased by Barris at all.
Oh.
But instead by a local physician and club racer, William Eschrick.
Oh.
And he says that William did salvage some of the car, and but he believes that that family still owns the engine, but some of it, which was not salvageable, or they just trashed.
Yeah.
Raskin actually believes that a few pieces of the Barris Safety Council car display were maybe purchased or taken from the original car, but says the rest could have just been sheets of aluminum that Barris put together and then just like beat the shit out of to make it look like it had been in a crash.
Oh, so okay.
Like maybe Barris had a little piece of the car, but like also maybe he didn't at all.
Yeah. Okay.
Either way, one part of the car that did remain intact was the transaxle. And for those of you like myself and Megan who are asking the question, what the actual fuck is a transaxle? I'm here to tell you that I do not know. I asked Elliot about this because I had the same question. And basically, it's like a single unit that houses the transmission and the axle assembly of the car, so that the drive wheels are connected directly to the car's transmission. But that means like very little to me. And yeah, maybe it means something to all of you, but it doesn't mean much to me.
Great. That means nothing to me. I guess it just means like more direct connection between the transmission and the wheels, maybe?
And like it probably like it's probably better handling, I would imagine.
Yeah, maybe like better handling, and also you could get up to speed more quickly. That's my guess. That's our guess. Somebody tell us.
Somebody explain transaxle to us.
It's not really important to the story, so whatever.
But so the transaxle did survive and had apparently been passed around to several people before making its way to Don Ahern.
Okay.
Who decided to sell it at a bring a trailer auction.
What is a bring a trailer auction?
I think it's just an auction where like you just bring your own way of like getting it off the lot. Okay. I think that's all it is.
Okay.
And the transaxle, one piece of that car sold for $382,000. And it was purchased by somebody very near and dear to the Spooky Science Sisters' hearts. So
that sentence makes me question what I said.
But I want you to answer your first answer. And then if you have another one, you can give it to me.
Okay. So I was wrong saying that I thought it was Nick Cage.
So I'm really glad you said it was Nick Cage because that when I asked Elliot this question, he said the exact same thing.
He did.
He did. Unfortunately, it was not Nick Cage.
Well, yeah, your sentence, had there been near and dear to the spook, because like, I mean, I'm fond of Nick Cage, but I wouldn't say near and dear to our hearts. Who is it?
Zach Bagans.
No, it's not. Yes. No, it's fucking not.
And like, I did this whole fucking thing and found that out at the end. And I was like, this is perfect.
No, it's fucking not.
Yeah, he's putting it in his museum.
It's so an asshole.
So that's my cursed car story. And
no.
It ended up exactly how it needed to. So, Kenny Biddle, we're going to need you to go check that out.
He's not allowed to. At this point, by association, we might not be allowed to. But also, here's the thing. It's just like another thing added to his bullshit museum of like nothing that's actually cursed. God, that man is out of control.
You have no idea. Like I said, I sort of fell on this topic and then like got through most of the research and found that out. And I was like, oh yeah, this is gold.
This is it. Yeah. Well, I thought Nick Cage, because when we did the New Orleans stuff, we're like, Nick Cage owns a lot of real estate
right.
in weird places. And yeah, so I was like, it's got to be Nick Cage. It was not. It was fucking not. Zach Bagans. That was worth the payoff of the whole story.
Just to find out that it was Zach.
No! Oh, Lord. Okay. I'm never going to recover from that.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at armorall.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Okay, well, in case you thought it was going to get any less weird during this episode, it's not.
it only gets weirder.
Did I just delete that by accident? Yes, I did. Okay, I don't want to delete my memes. I got too excited about Zach Bagans. Okay, so mine is a story about recreational abuse of Benadryl. In order to see a common sleep paralysis demon, which that's, I don't even know.
One that you said was going to make me lose my mind?
Yeah, I just knew like you were going to be so annoyed with people like for doing this kind of stuff.
Okay, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Or just like you just weren't going to expect like this to be a thing.
Yeah.
okay. But now you've like really won up to me with this whole Zach Bagans thing. So damn it, Paige. Okay. All right. This is the Hatman Benadryl, I don't know, TikTok challenge, vision quest, whatever the fuck is happening here with kids these days. So apparently there is an internet urban legend or creepypasta called the Hatman, and he has had a recent resurgence in popularity, I think primarily on TikTok, and is tied to a trend of people taking large doses of Benadryl to induce hallucinations. Off to a bad start.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have only seen references and videos related to the Hatman and the Benadryl stuff in the last couple of months or so, but I guess this has actually been a thing for a while, including on TikTok since at least 2020. I have no idea how I avoided it this long because, like, it seems like I would for sure have been shown something about that, but here we are, so you guys have to hear about it now. So I'm pretty sure the first thing I saw about it was this tweet from late October of 2022, which said, I can't take Benadryl anymore because I owe the Hatman money and I don't want to see him. Which is arguably funny, but I was like, what the fuck is this talking about? And then, this is like not on my radar for Short and Spooky at all. And then I think I saw another Hatman thing show up recently, or like in the last couple days, and I was like, oh yeah, I gotta do this. So who's the Hatman? So he is a dark figure wearing a flat brimmed hat who is seen, you know, at the foot of your bed or like in your doorway or in your room at night. It seems like pretty much everyone's in agreement that he's some sort of sleep paralysis demon, but in this case all these people are running around believing that he's like a real entity that shows up because of sleep paralysis or because you're hallucinating.
Okay.
And yeah, so he's been around since the late 2000s for a while in the creepypastaverse, but has grown in popularity recently, as I mentioned, with stories of people being able to repeatedly summon the Hatman using large amounts of Benadryl. So here's the thing about that. Like, people are acting like because, so let's say, let like, because I generally believe that like people could be something, seeing something similar to like the drawings that you see of the Hatman while they're having like a sleep paralysis episode, especially like some sort of like drug induced hallucinatory thing, because right. That's pretty common, like seeing dark figures or like having sort of, you know, that kind of thing show up in your peripheral vision during sleep paralysis episodes is a thing that's reported commonly. But like, that's sort of the whole point of it. Like, it's not some supernatural thing. You're not summoning some real supernatural paranormal entity. Like, you're just experiencing sleep paralysis.
Right.
Or you're just hallucinating.
Or you're like, hallucinating. Yeah, you take a lot of any drug, you're going to start seeing shit.
Right. Like, there's nothing real or, like, special about, like, seeing some dark figure. That's just, like, normal hallucination, like, sleep paralysis stuff. So, you know, I don't know why people are getting all worked up about, like, him showing up repeatedly. Because it's like, well, that doesn't mean anything. That's, like, a common thing. People right. report seeing the same kind of figures all the time. All right. So, yeah. So that's the Hatman. He's been around for a while. He's maybe gained some popularity recently. I guess the quote-unquote officially named Benadryl Challenge has been around on TikTok since 2020, but abusing Benadryl as a hallucinogen has been a thing for a long time. So you can find posts online going back quite a ways about that. I couldn't confirm if the TikTok Benadryl challenge was originally tied to the Hatman, or if like that connection has sort of like been made later, like in the last couple years since it happened. I don't know. Does it matter? Unclear. So, so what's going on here? So the active ingredient in Benadryl is diphenhydramine. Anyway, it's an antihistamine that works to block the effects of histamine in your brain, So, you know, you're blocking the effects of an allergic reaction, as well as the actions of acetylcholine, which is a neurotransmitter that in the case of an allergic reaction, so it does a lot of things, but in the case of an allergic reaction would make you cough or make you experience a runny nose. It's sending signals to the rest of your body. So obviously, like if you take a lot of something that affects your brain, it's going to make weird things happen to your brain. Mm-hmm. And if you've ever taken Benadryl, which I'm sure you have, like I'm absolutely positive, Paige, that you've taken Benadryl before, right?
Oh yeah, I have. And I mean, I just can't, I can't handle it.
Yeah, I'm basically like dead to the world.
Right, yeah.
So if you've ever taken Benadryl, like you'll probably have realized that it makes you very, very sleepy. Apparently, a typical dose is equivalent to a blood alcohol level of 0.1, which is obviously above the 0.08 wow. legal limit in most places. So like, you know, it's the impairment basically that you experience is similar to being like too drunk to drive.
Right.
Essentially. And I've always found this meme about Benadryl really funny. That's like Benadryl's approach to allergies is just like, well, you can't sneeze if you're unconscious. Which is accurate. Like, can't be having an allergic reaction if you are literally in a coma. Anyway, so if taken in large doses, Benadryl can have psychological effects, and symptoms of overdose include inability to urinate because, again, like the neurotransmitters in your brain like aren't able to send the signals that they're supposed to send to the rest of your body, blurred vision, agitation and confusion, hallucinations, seizures, depression, high heart rate, arrhythmia, nervousness, and you know, like a laundry list of other things. It can affect like basically every major system in your body.
So when my mom was going through her chemo treatments, they had to start every treatment with like a big dose of Benadryl.
Oh, I remember her talking about that. Yeah.
And like every single time she was just miserable. She tells me to this day that like the Benadryl for her was like worse than a lot of the chemotherapy was.
Yeah. Which like tells you something, like don't fuck around if it makes you feel worse than having chemo. Yeah, right. The things that people talk about though are like insane, like just insane hallucinations, like and just feeling awful. So like it's not worth it overall. But there are tons of posts and comments on places like Reddit asking for advice on like how much Benadryl people should take, and like a lot of them saying like how much should I take to see the Hat Man? I just want to do it once. Gosh. And it's like, don't do it at all. And yeah, with like some people recommending that people take up to 10 times the normal dose, like no, just don't do it.
Here's piece of advice for people just in general. If you have to ask somebody on the internet that you've never met before how much of anything you should take, you shouldn't be taking it. Like,
right.
You can't just trust random ass people to give you an answer that isn't going to kill
right.
you.
Who know nothing about like other medications you're taking or medical conditions you might have, whatever. All right. So as I was looking into this, I was like a little suspicious that this was like an overblown 6 o'clock news, like lock up your kids, moral panic news story thing. Like, you know, those like special investigations by like your news team or whatever. And overall, I do think that calling it like a challenge and making it seem like all the kids are doing it is a bit overblown. And especially like, but I guess like not to the same extent that like the Tide Pod Challenge thing was sort of an overblown thing that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Benadryl Challenge was at least connected to the death of at least one teenager in 2020. Although I wasn't able to confirm that with a specific news story, but that detail did show up in like a lot of credible sources. Mm-hmm. I was able to corroborate claims that three teenagers in Texas ended up hospitalized in a single week after taking too much Benadryl, one of whom took 14 pills.
Gosh.
And ended up with a resting heart rate of 199 beats per minute. Like, that would feel fucking awful.
Yeah.
That would not feel good at all. So Benadryl's had to add a statement to their website, which reads, "We understand that consumers may have heard about an online challenge involving the misuse or abuse of diphenhydramine. The challenge, which involves ingestion of excessive quantities of diphenhydramine, is a dangerous trend and should be stopped immediately. Benadryl products and other diphenhydramine products should only be used as directed by the label. Collaboration and education are critical to putting an end to this dangerous misuse. We are working with TikTok and other social platforms to remove content that showcases this behavior. We will look to partner across industry and with key stakeholders to address this dangerous behavior." And I did like also come across a few things on like the Benadryl Twitter account where, I don't know, they posted something and they were like just dozens of responses. And like, you don't know if it's just people fucking with them, but like of people being like, "Oh, my friend like took a bunch and now she's convulsing." And like the poor Benadryl, like whoever's running their social media account just like has to sort of paste in the same boilerplate response. Like, this is a medical emergency, right? Go to the hospital. Like, you don't know. Like, it's just insane. But the FDA also issued a statement saying taking too much Benadryl can lead to serious heart problems, seizures, coma, and even death. And like I said, I wasn't able to confirm if like the Hatman connection was a thing the whole time or if it's like since become sort of a thing, like they've merged together. Because if you try to search TikTok for the Benadryl challenge, it comes up with a warning that videos associated with the phrase violate their guidelines and you don't get shown any search results, which is great. Like, good.
Yeah.
Just leave it out. So long story short, and like we've sort of already been saying this all along, and like I know that all of you know who are listening, but just in case, like do not do this. You can definitely die or like cause yourself lifelong damage. There's no like magical portal that you're opening up to a supernatural entity. The Hatman is not real. He's just a run-of-the-mill sleep paralysis vision, and people have written internet stories about it, and it's just creepypasta. Like, don't do it. And I hate the fact that I sound like some sort of like dare PSA right now, but just don't do it.
Yeah. I don't even know what to say.
I know. I told you. Your brain is going to be like, just.
What the actual fuck? Here's the thing. Like, okay, so this person who took 14 Benadryls.
Yeah.
Do you think they had ever taken just one?
I don't know.
Because I have. And I can tell you that, like, I'm pretty sure that, like, two or three might kill me. So, like,
yeah,
right. I may never wake back up.
Yeah. I was trying to think, like, what's the dose for Benadryl? Well, I'm going to look up the dose real quick, like, pill-wise. Because I'm trying to think, like, because I'm pretty sure I only normally, like, the times that I've ever had to take it, I've only taken, like, half a dose. Because I will go to sleep and sleep for like 12 hours.
Yeah.
Like in broad daylight. Directions. 1 to 2 tablets.
Okay. Yeah. I do see 2. Okay.
Yeah. So taking, was it 14 or 15? Is
14, yeah.
7 to 14 times the dose that you should take. Which is insane.
Yeah.
Like no wonder. Yeah. So I don't know. So like there is it overblown a little bit? Sure. But the fact that kids have ended up hospitalized and like there's also the possibility that somebody died and that people are like still fucking around with it and posting stories about it. Like, mm-mm. Yeah. It's not great. And it's just like another example of, I don't know, people just taking like the whole creepypasta internet thing too far.
Too far. Yeah.
Yeah. So it just, yeah. Cause like we talked about with Tyson and the whole Slender Man thing, like, the girl getting stabbed. It's like, mm-hmm. All it takes is like one time for somebody to take it a little bit too far. So anyway, I sound like a dare PSA. I hate it. I hate it. Okay. That is it for Short and Spooky.
Alrighty. Well, that wraps up our first episode of 2023, Short and Spooky. Tune in next time for an episode with Megan and Rebecca Gibson on robots, artificial intelligence, and simulation theory. Oh my! If you like this episode, hit subscribe and share with a friend. Check the show notes for links to all of our social media accounts, our Discord server, and Patreon. If you have any questions about previous topics or ideas for future episodes, email us at spookyscientesisters@gmail.com. As always, thank you for listening and stay spooky. Spooky Science Sisters is a proud member of the Evergreen Podcasts Network. For more information or to check out other shows, please visit evergreenpodcasts.com.
I'm Eliza, and I need you to listen to me. Have you ever felt so much that you don't know where to put it all? And you wonder if anyone would notice if you screamed? Because you want to. Scream for the ones they've hurt, the ones they've taken. Scream for yourself. These are my words, my story from my perspective. Because I know you'll hear other versions. Because I want you to have a chance to believe mine, or at least hear it. If you're getting this, it's already over. But if one of you listens, really listens, it won't be for nothing.